Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. Cause I'm the best baby that they never gotta keep. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
Last year, fiscal year 2025, all total, that was 14.37 mils that you as a city taxpayer property owner would pay. For a home, after all of the exemptions, if it was assessed at $100,000, your tax bill was $1,437 and change.
There's nothing like starting off your day with a crispy bit of tax talk. Yes, this is Ed Spears, the city manager for the city of Milton. And... why not? They had the millage meeting, the special meeting, where they talked about, you know, taxes. And just for people who may not know, and if you do, you don't know, you don't know. Okay, millage is a tenth of a percent. So 14 mils means 1.4%, if that helps you. And that's of the assessed value of your home or your property, whatever it is. That's the amount of tax that you pay. There's all kinds of exemptions built in to the home that you live in, not to the home that you might rent or, you know, the business that you might rent or the own. Those are different. But most of us primarily think about property tax. And when you talk about property tax in the city of Milton, if you add up all the things that you pay, what he's saying is that last year is 14 mils. Again, or 1.4%. So, you know, 1.4% of the whole value. I almost wish we didn't have the mill as a concept, because I'm absolutely convinced that 90+% of people do not know what a mill is. Don't know how to. They kind of vaguely know how to do percentages. Okay, but mills just makes it confusing because you feel like it's this magical thing. What is it? Well, it's a tenth of a percent. It's a mill. A thousandth is literally percent of the hundred. Mill is millage of the thousandth. So anyway. Not to get into an etymology discussion here this morning, but there we are. You know, sometimes you have to do it. So what else would be possible? Ed Spears says, well, if we participated in the 2 mil or the 0.2% MSBU, Municipal Services Benefit Union, for the sheriff's office that the county, Santa Rosa County, had put in, then?
This year, if we would have accepted the county's municipal services taxing unit for law enforcement and done the rollback rate.
Excuse me, the MSTU, that is on the basis of the value, not a per house fee. MSBUs are per house fees. MSTUs are on the value of the house. Sorry, my fault.
Which was 2.76. That would have been a total millage burden of 14.1616. And your tax bill would have been $1,416. You would have saved $21.22 if your home was valued at $100,000 after all the exemptions.
So he's laying out scenarios, okay? This scenario would have the city paying the 2 mils to the county, like, you know, they always had. Or, I mean, previously it had been part of the county property tax rate. Then it got separated out into the MSTU. They reduced their millage by 2 mils, and then they added the MSTU for all the county residents. But there's a wrinkle in the law that allows the cities like Gulf Breeze and Milton to NJ to opt out of that 2 mils. And so he's talking about, well, what if we opted in but also took the rollback rate, which means reducing the 2.99 mils to 2.76 mils? What would that do? Well, it would save you 21 bucks a year, $2 a month. Nobody cares. Or at least, I mean, those are the numbers, okay?
If we would have gone with the millage rate as you're considering here tonight and left the MSTU in place, your total millage burden would have been 15.4928 mils, and I believe I would be looking for a job at that point in time, because I would never have recommended this to you at that rate. That would have been a considerable increase of $111.90 for that same homeowner of a $100,000 assessed home. That's not what we're recommending. That is not before you. That is not what we've been talking about since July 17th.
About a little bit more than one, not quite one and a half mil increase. Okay, so what are some of the and what he's saying is if he had come to them recommending a tax increase on all the residents of $100 a year on a $100,000 home, $200 on $200,000, $300,000, you know, he's like, I would have been out of job. Either they would have forced him out or he would have left because he wasn't going to, you know, do that. Okay, so what are they talking about?
The box in green shows you what is before you tonight, the taxing structure for this year. which is a 4.118 millage for the city, which is a 37.3% increase over the 2.99, and it is that 47% over the rollback rate.
Okay, so what they were actually, remember, the whole idea here is that the county had made it possible to have a 2 mil reduction because in the county with the sheriff, they were going to fund that in a separate line item to make clarity in your taxes to know how much you're paying for the sheriff and how much you're not paying for or paying for other things. And the city, because, again, they had not agreed to participate in this, that's their option not to, they said, well, okay, so 2.9 or 3 mils for the city itself, we're going to raise that to 4.1, a little over a 1, you know, 1.119, I think, actually, is the increase. They're going to increase it, and that means that that's going to raise your property taxes. That is a 47% increase over the rollback rate. The rollback rate is the amount that you would put the tax rate at to create the same amount of outcome, the same amount of value, you know, because the properties go up in value. You can put a lower tax rate on them to get the same income, basically, for the city. So that's the rollback rate. It's a 37% outright increase over three or 2.99. But the rollback rate is lower than 2.99. That's what he's getting at. I know it's 515. But can I just sidebar for a second? I know it's numbers and math and tax rates at 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's probably some of you like, what? I don't know. Come on. Okay. This is like the basis of your government. This is one of the most crucial things that your elected officials do is decide how much of your money they're going to take. And if you don't understand how it works, you're not equipped to talk about how to do it differently. And these are the discussions. I know it's boring, but does your money matter to you? Are you like, fine, just take whatever you're going to take. I don't care, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever. You're going to do what you're going to do. No. It's a democracy. You have a role to play. And if you like it or don't like it, if you want to punish people at the polls or if you want to reward them or if you want to lobby or whatever or start a social media campaign, these ninnies, I can't believe what they're doing. You got to know what you're talking about. And this is the facts. Not just for the people of Milton. The byproduct here is, as I'm talking about Milton, we're talking about something that's happened in Santa Rosa County, but we're also just kind of getting a better understanding of how these things work for everybody. Because remember, next year, the Republicans in Tallahassee have vowed that they're going to come with some proposal to radically restructure property taxes. This stuff. And if you don't know how it works, then next year, people are going to tell you to vote yes or vote no, and you're not going to know what it means until after it happens, and then you're going to be like, what the? And I don't want you to have that reaction. I want you to be prepared. All right, so back to Ed Spears. What could they do? What does it mean?
But the county's millage has gone down because the city is opting out of the local option. The municipal services taxing. The city residents will not pay that 2.07 mils. So the net burden for the property owners is 13.4228 mils, a decrease of 6.6% over this current fiscal year. That will produce a savings for that homeowner of an assessed home at $100,000 of $95.10. So you could double that if your home is assessed at $200,000 or 2.5 times if it's $250,000.
And this is the net of what they're talking about. The county's made it possible for you to have a 2 mil decrease. We are bringing to you a 1.07, something in that vicinity, increase in the city taxes. That looks like a big percentage increase in the overall. It's a decrease, meaning it's a savings to you. If you have a $200,000 home, it's about a $200. That's like $190 savings. That's what they're talking about. It's also the thing that Alex Andrade kind of pointed out when Marilyn Farrer, one of the city council members, showed up at the legislative delegation meeting. He's like, so we're going into an environment where the whole discussion is about eliminating or dramatically reducing property taxes, and you all voted for a tax increase? Bold choice, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him.
The 2.99 mils generates 1.8 million. The 4.118 is 2.5 million. That $683,000 in new recurring general fund revenue goes to, as I said, our highest priorities in public safety. This tax cut will return to the taxpayers of Milton, the property owners, almost $600,000 in total. Our budget is balanced with zero required from reserves to balance our budget. And any reduction in the millage tonight.
budget for the city for every $600,000-ish you want the city to make, that's about a mill, is about what he's saying. If at 3 mills, the city makes $1.8 million. At 4 mills, they make $2.5 million. You see, it's about $600,000 for every mill. That means that if you're going to cut city taxes by a mill, you're going to give the people basically a $600,000 tax break, or about $100 per $100,000 of valuation. But again, keep in mind, this is being made possible by the fact that the county did something and the city did not participate in it. Gulf Breeze, for comparison, just cut. This said, fine, the 2 mills, we're just not going to charge them. So a true tax cut. This is actually a net tax cut overall, but it's a tax increase by the city. And I know it's complicated, but stick with me. Last thing here, what do the rest of the city council think about this?
Thank you. So I had a motion by Councilman Powell to approve Resolution 2025-26, second by Councilman McKee, and the vote is in progress. Unanimously approved. Thank you, members.
There you go. They did it. That's your tax rate in Milton. Now, John, you're a resident of Milton, so you're invested.
Yes.
Did you understand what happened?
Yes.
Okay. It was clear.
Is very clear.
All right, good.
It's crystal.
The next least interesting thing in local government we could possibly talk about would be sewer water.
Yay, Andrew.
But this is a good news note. You know, the wastewater treatment plant, the ongoing, never-ending, there are more, you know, episodes of this saga than there are Fast and Furious movies. The wastewater treatment plant that was killed by some local activists, which I sometimes unaffectionately refer to as the Pitchfork Posse, and, you know, concerned citizens of Milton and Save Our Blackwater, and the various legitimate and, I think, illegitimate concerns that they raised eventually, and they got a whole new city council elected, and they wound up killing the project and forfeiting all the grant money. And, you know, if you think that's a good thing, wonderful. I think it was a terrible, terrible mistake, but there you go. And so now we're back in the process of building a new wastewater treatment plant at a different location. Not that far away, but not right on, as people complained about, on the Blackwater River, which gave rise to all of the alarmism and, again, I thought misinformation. But okay, so anyway, Rick Delp is the consultant that they're working with. He might be an engineer, and I don't mean to give him a title reduction, but anyway, with Baskerville Donovan, they're the ones that designed the old one. And you remember Mike Cusack, one of the city council members, who said, well, I don't know if we can trust any of their engineering, but, you know, we'll stick with the same firm to engineer the other one. Like, it's just, they're a great firm. Mike Cusack has issues in figuring out consistency. Anyway, Rick Delp was there talking about the wastewater treatment plant, and he dropped what's the word for like a good bomb? You know, a bomb is usually bad, but this is a little like amazing news. Here goes.
What?
And you're talking about ballpark 70 or 80 million. Maybe it's 100 million. I don't know. It's a lot of money for the wastewater treatment plant. More now because we waited, you know, right? But okay, anyway. So in the grand scheme of how much this matters, you're talking about
what a little bit of delay we had. I won't call it any downtime during the permitting process, but we took the opportunity to look at any potential savings that we might be able to realize by tweaking some equipment a little bit. And at this point in time, we're pretty confident that we can reduce the cost estimate that we've put out by at least $10 million. So it's been really productive to have that downtime.
Did you say $10 million?
$10 million, yes, sir.
We sure appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You know, why don't you just find more savings?
Yeah.
Take your time.
So this, let's say 70. I think it's in that vicinity. $70 million project. They were kind of bored one day while they were waiting for some permitting issues to clear up. And, you know, they were fiddling with the napkin underneath the cocktail. And they... I'm trying not to be pejorative, but it's, you know, you kind of imagine what happened. And they're all sitting around talking about the project. And then Baskerville Donovan, you know, they're like, oh, hey, wait, carry the four. $10 million. No, I mean, I'm a joke, but, you know, this is good news. They found a $10 million improvement in the price of the project, which is what you want people to do. You want them to come back to you with a cheaper project. But, you know, it's kind of a lot to suddenly discover you could do it this way differently. So, I'm assuming they came up with something kind of cool. And in the end, $10 million, $10 million. Or if you prefer to be sort of politically, what's the word I want? Jaded is a bit too strong. So the millage increase was supposed to be $600,000 in revenue and also $600,000 in savings, right? $600,000 for the residents, $680,000 for the city. They're going to split kind of the difference. Meanwhile, Baskerville Donovan says, I found you a $10 million savings. And one could ask, although this happened second in the meeting, the first meeting was about the millage, this meeting was just about the wastewater treatment plant, you could say, well, if you're saving us $10 million, I don't know, that's, you know, 13 years at $600,000. We just paid off the millage. You could just give us another mill cut. Just a thought. Sometimes you put two things together and maybe you come up with the wrong answer, but no, it's not going to work that way. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, John, you're a City of Milton resident.
Yes.
You want to add any?
I want the millage cut.
Yeah.
But
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, I think we need to lobby that.
Yeah, especially because as we go into the session next year, that 600 recurring is probably not going to be recurring because it's probably going to go away. But to be fair, okay, the conversation that a lot of folks have been having is, you know, we shouldn't be cutting in a time when we're going to be going into a sort of austerity mode by cutting property taxes entirely. That's been the, you know, position of like Mike Kohler at the Escambia County Commission and, you know, so and Stephen Barry and some others. So you know, there's more to be said, but I just want you to know the whole story. And now if you're asleep, we'll be back in a moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before or that local theater is predictable? Well, foo around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, foo around and find out at Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength and vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Don't come back now. Here.
Listening for a second.
You can feel when the music starts to groove, rhythm of the music and the body starts to move. Exterminate.
You know, John, I'm a big believer that music is evocative, not just of a feeling, but sometimes of a visual. And not because there's any video that ever taught me to think this way. That opening from Snap's Exterminate always has me thinking about a dawn sort of mist fog clearing, and you're in your sports car going down the windy forest road as the mist. That's what I always picture that whenever I hear that bit.
And that's the reason why I have a subwoofer, was because of this in my car.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Hamas says that they've returned all the bodies to Israel that they can. The Palestinian militant group said Wednesday that they had abided by what was agreed upon and handed over all of the living captives and the corpses that they were able to access. A federal judge has extended temporary restraining orders blocking the deployment of the National Guard to Portland until October 19th. Governor Jeff Landry says National Guard troops could be deployed to Louisiana this year, though. And earthquake drills will be happening around the world as part of the International Shakeout Day today.
Yes, earthquake drills.
Shake it out.
Right on. Come on, Taylor, bring it.
I should have queued up the music.
The theme song for this should absolutely be Shake It Off.
It should be.
Yeah, or Shake It Up by the Cars. I don't know. You could have different earthquakes theme songs. Go on.
There you go. Well, that's pretty much all I've got. The earthquake drills were started back in 2008, if you need some history on those. But I don't suspect they're ultra relevant for us.
We do get them.
We do. Very minor ones.
I mean, we have little, little shaker events, so... You don't like that? You don't think shake your rump is not
so... That's perfect.
All right, fine. All right. I just thought, shake your rump up. Boom. Oh, that's actually pretty good.
Whoa.
How'd I do that?
This early in the morning, I think it's because it's early.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wouldn't have thought I could hit that note with just my voice. So I'm not trying that again. I'll fail. I'll hurt myself. 437-1620. It's 5 o'clock. You never know what you're going to get. I almost passed out on the sofa this morning when I was watching TV getting ready for the show. So, you just be glad it's not so terrible. Oh my God. Guess who's running for county commission in Walton County?
Andrew McKay.
James Calkins.
Really?
Who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Day 16 in the partial shutdown of the federal government. President Trump blames a top Democrat in the Senate for people missing paychecks.
This is a Democrat Schumer shutdown.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer pushing back.
Thousands of federal workers continue to work and not get paid. House Republicans continue to get paid and don't work.
A 9th vote on the short-term spending plan failed in the Senate. Israeli officials released the names of two more dead hostages brought back home to Israel, including last remaining female hostage who was murdered at the Nova Musical Festival. That was October 7th. There are still 19 other bodies believed to be in Gaza, including two U.S. citizens. Hamas claims it's returned all the bodies it can find. Vatican panel criticized the Catholic Church for being slow to help abuse victims and putting in safeguards. That from an annual report. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies at 65 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Mayor D.C. Reeves crediting some of the airport's top officials for securing funding on that new terminal project.
What gets forgotten in this is the bond process is long and laborious. And what people may not have noticed that we mentioned is we got, for the first time in the history of our airport, we got A-plus ratings from all three bond agencies. That's never happened here. That's the quality of economic vitality and responsibility that we are taking, that we're seeing at the airport. And so, is there a better compliment to say that you've got a well-run, well-operated airport than three objective bodies that are there to judge the performance that you have given?
Mayor D.C. Reeves credited the work of Executive Director Matt Coughlin, recently retired Deputy Director Ken Eibold, and Director of Finance Laura Amentler. Ground was broken on that terminal project yesterday. It's expected to take several years to complete and could be operational by fall of 2027. Now, this fall, you can take the family outdoors. There's Free Movie Tuesdays coming to Santa Rosa County Community.
Parks and Rec bringing the big screen outdoors with the launch of its new Movie in the Parks program. Families and residents can enjoy free family-friendly Tuesday movie nights under the stars. The first event features Monsters, Inc. on November 4th at Benny Russell Park in Pace. Bring those blankets and lawn chairs for a fun-filled evening of family entertainment. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate that update. Well, Wild Greg's Saloon in downtown Pensacola has reopened its doors to service members stationed at NAS Pensacola after the previously issued ban on the establishment has now been lifted. That decision was announced earlier this week. It comes after Base Commander Captain Chandra Newman had forbidden sailors to go to the establishment, citing safety concerns. Bar owner Greg Urban reportedly met with Newman during an Armed Forces Disciplinary Control Board meeting and outlined their new security measures, including having off-duty police officers present and more security protocols. Urban expressed that the ban had significantly impacted their sales, making it difficult for his staff. He remains optimistic about the future of the bar, emphasizing his commitment to both the Pensacola community and to the Navy. Well, the Atmore Police Department has now appointed Major Ken Sessions as their new police chief. This is after the promotion of their former chief, Chuck Brooks, to director of public safety. Brooks has more than 30 years of law enforcement experience, including a decade as chief. He'll now oversee public safety in the community. Sessions was promoted unanimously by their Atmore City Council at their latest meeting. The trial of former Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon Dr. Ben Brown is scheduled for May 4th. Brown was arrested back in June of 2024 and charged with manslaughter related to the death of his wife in 2023. Hillary Brown experienced cardiac arrest while undergoing several procedures performed by her husband at his office in the Tiger Point area. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 65 degrees. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a few more clouds moving in for the afternoon, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Going into Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a small chance of rain, 20% overall, high near 82. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 65, partly cloudy. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company has reported a more than 39% increase in third quarter profits from last year, beating estimates and hitting a fresh record as demand for artificial intelligence chips stayed strong. TSMC's high-performance computing division made up a majority of third-quarter sales, accounting for 57% of revenues. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said his company is not the elected moral police of the world after receiving backlash over his decision to allow content like erotica within ChatGPT. The artificial intelligence startup has been expanding its safety controls as it has faced mounting scrutiny over how it protects users, especially minors. Walmart is deploying millions of ambient Internet of Things battery-free sensors throughout its U.S. supply chain with a plan to reach 46,000 locations by the end of 2026. Walmart will know in real time exactly where merchandise is located across Walmart supercenters, neighborhood markets, and more than 40 distribution centers. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
They've awarded more than 121,000 degrees. Their alumni network is more than 100,000 Argo strong and is a major driver of economic impact, generating approximately $1.4 billion in total annual sales. UWF is more than a university. It's a symbol of success. Today, 11:15 a.m., Interim President Manny Diaz delivers the 2025 State of the University speech. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Down with the DC talk. Down with the DC talk. Are you down with the DC
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor Pensacola, has made some time for us this morning, as he does every Wednesday. Hey, Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are getting ready here in about 80 minutes. You're going to do a groundbreaking for the new airport terminal, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're familiar driving on, it'll be right there before you get to the existing terminal on your right. We will have the official ceremony. And again, as me and you have discussed, it'll be a couple year process. But nonetheless, the official groundbreaking happenings, you'll start to see in and around the airport now for extended period of time. But we're excited. Actually, we just calculated fiscal year.
No. Did we lose him? We sure enough did. All right. Well, I assume he'll call right back. So hold on here just a second. Mayor, you there?
Hey. Yeah.
Look at how I managed to reconnect you while I'm talking on the radio, on the air. Multi-talented.
Multitasker.
Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about that.
No,
go ahead.
It's all right. Just glad to get this project started. We've been talking about it for a long time. We just got our fiscal year final numbers in from the airport, $3.11 million. So another 3% increase over the all-time record last year. And so very, very much needed to be able to get these five new gates, new concession opportunity, and to continue to see our airport grow.
And we should expect to be able to be using that terminal, December, January of this year, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. You know how quickly projects move. And,
4 years?
Years? Remember, I was going to say, I think it'll be in 27.
Okay.
The goal. So
that's
in 2 years would be the goal. So, we'll use seasons, Andrew. That's the key. You say summer, it buys you a few months, fall. 27, that's the strategy you have to use when you're this far out.
Okay. Looking forward to that. That'll be fun today. Also, you talked extensively about this yesterday, but I know people have questions. The repaving of Palafox is something that has to be done because of the gouge work that was done with the underground utilities and all that repair. That's $3 million that got put into the fund by FPL for that. But we also have this reimagined Palafox, which is all of the decorative brickwork and the changing of kind of everything across Palafox. You got $9 million in the bank budgeted for that, but the bids came in. And I know you can't say a lot of details, but it sounds like the bids were higher than expected. And I think the real question people have is, are you going to do it all in one chunk, or are you going to do it in segments? Because you talked about how doing it in segments really doesn't make any sense, both from a mobilization and from an impact perspective. But you tell me, what's the plan?
Yeah, quickly, before I go into that, I think it is important to point out, and because there's lots of conversation and there's lots of media reports that are kind of one-sided in the sense that they say, well, man, what is this going to do for local businesses? And that your point is important to understand, is that no matter what happens, if we decided tomorrow to not do Palafox, if we decided tomorrow, we still have a multi-week full shutdown of Palafox happening. And in fact, that's really why we have prioritized Palafox ahead of some of the other hashtag conversation over Maine and over. And think about in your own household. If your car breaks down, all of a sudden your priorities change. If you're going to have to drive to work anyway, you're not going to say, well, let's keep going with what we already were deciding a year ago. Well, no, if you need a new vehicle to get to work. And so that's the way we look at Palafox. Palafox has $3 million of work due to take place on it, no matter what. So there is no zero-day closure that's even available at Palafox. What we're deciding is, do we want it to be closed for 10 or 12 weeks, or do we want it to be closed for 20 weeks and have a transformational opportunity? So in terms of your second question, it clearly from the bids that we saw that we are going to be doing the Band-Aid approach, and the contractor will be paid handsomely in a bonus for that.
When you say the Band-Aid approach, what does that mean?
Sorry, that's all at once.
Band-Aid. Gotcha. Okay. The do it all at once and make life horrible, but for a short period of time, and then it'll be better quickly thereafter.
That's correct. And so there'd be a 10% bonus if they're done by Memorial Day, a 5% bonus if they're done somewhere in the June 13th area, and they have to be done by July 3rd. Have to be. Doesn't matter if we delay it, rain, they have to be done by July 3rd. That is how the RFP was written. So So again, and why are we putting up those dollars? We're putting up those dollars to help our businesses locally. We want this shutdown to be as lower in terms that we don't want it to be as big an inconvenience that most construction projects are. And as you heard me say in the press conference, if someone's got advice on how to have a transformational construction project that doesn't create any inconvenience whatsoever, then please let me know. There's just never been one. But we know that on the other side of Memorial Day is a net positive. That's great for our community, great for walkability, and great to continue to push the vibrancy of our downtown.
And in case people didn't catch it, one of the key things you had said before, but you also said yesterday and today as well, is starting in January, as early in January as possible, let's get past the holidays and go. So that we are not encroaching upon, you know, post-4th of July kind of stuff. Just one quick thing. I know you can't get into the numbers just yet because you're still in the process of having the bids looked at and evaluated. But, I mean, are we like, in the close ballpark to what you've got budgeted, or are we still looking for a delta, and is the delta very big?
Yes, we're in the ballpark.
Okay.
And if there's one misnomer in 3 years of this job, this is probably a perfect highlight example, which is someone on social media sees the amount of money and says, well, why don't we feed the homeless with that? Why don't we do all these other things? Why don't we fix this or that? Well, the $3 million from FPL, the vast majority of these funds are urban core CRA dollars that would have to be spent in the urban core of the CRA, cannot be spent legally anywhere else. And so, you know, when you see someone saying something like that about any project, usually about 95% of the time, very little general fund dollars go to anything except public safety, where they can go to anything in the world. This is yet again another one of those projects where these dollars that are going to be allocated towards this are specifically earmarked for uses that are not just anything that the city or someone in the city would like to do with them.
Well, I'll give you this amount of cover. You know, putting money into making Palafox beautiful is absolutely a city priority. Giving money to hungry people, I don't think that is a city priority. That's a very important private charitable thing to be doing. That's what we do with our tithe money. But I don't have any qualms about the city not doing that. So that's kind of a silly. If people are saying that, it's quite a silly thing to say. The soccer complex or the soccer team coming here, where are we at?
Yeah, we continue to have conversations with them. I know they're talking with folks in the community. We've helped facilitate some of those conversations, whether it be folks that could be potential owners or just important community stakeholders, community groups that would make a team successful. Their feedback has been very positive that our market could support a team. But, you know, it comes down to the elephant in the room, which is where are you going to play? And, you know, long-term, the Wahoo Stadium people say, well, why don't they play there? It's really not sustainable there from a baseball conflict standpoint, mm-hmm. as well as a East-West FIFA Sun playing into the Sun standpoint.
They want fields laid out north-south so that you're not staring at the Sun when you're playing either direction. Is that the idea?
Exactly. And even that's not like the primary thing.
Okay.
At the end of the USL model is having these downtown, you know, vibrant areas around the stadium, not temporary bleachers in an outfield. You know, that's not necessarily what they envision or what's been successful for them.
Got it.
But if you look at examples like Spokane, like Colorado Springs, that, you know, USL is very aggressive in building these facilities right now. They've been doing it. They have a bunch under construction. They certainly know in 30 plus years what they're doing. So, positive conversations continue. And if we can, you know, find a location that makes sense, then, you know, I think it'll ramp up even faster.
If it's the same scale, the one in St. Louis is amazing. You know, and it is, you would not look at the one in St. Louis and say, oh, sure, we just make that at Wahoo State. It just doesn't work. I mean, it's just not compatible. So if that's the same kind of thing. Bay Bluffs Park, you've got a meeting, you know, discussion coming up pretty soon, right?
Yep. Yeah, we have actually Hollis T. Williams on the 21st at Cobb Center, 6:30. We'll unveil the overall vision. And remember, this is we hired MVDA as our designer. They designed Brooklyn Bridge Park. I mean, a world-renowned designer that's been on this team. The team's done a great job. We've had about 30 community meetings. And so this will be to unveil kind of the overall vision of Hollis T. Williams. And then the conversation is going to start boiling down to how much construction money do we have to do phase one and what does phase one look like in the near term. But so that'll be exciting to see and to share with the public. And then on the 22nd, the next day at Vickery Center, 6:30, is the Bay Bluffs Park meeting, as we're calling a listening session. Maybe we should have worded it better. Someone said, well, I don't want to sit and listen to you guys. I was like, no, we're listening to you guys. This is not come listen to the mayor for an hour. Let me just be clear. We're there to listen to you guys. And you tell us, you know, your memories of the park, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, what would you like to see? And so that's our first opportunity. And I do believe we'll have our consultant on. Remember, that was up in the air, whether we would or we wouldn't. But I believe at last check, we will have our consultant on and present there to be able to help facilitate that.
Very good. I'm going to ask this question. It's going to make me sound like an idiot, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have seen the pictures on Studio 850, but I still kind of don't believe there actually are houses going up on Old Stinky. Like, it's actually in the process of, it's gone vertical now, right?
That's right, yeah. There's, you know, again, the 260-ish units, I believe, on the west side are, yeah. I mean, you can see the elevator, or the fire stairwells are already all the way up. And then, you know, yeah, we got sticks going in the air. So, you know, that's not only good for property tax, it's good for economic development, and it's good for our local businesses to have. I mean, you think 260 units, you're going to probably have 500 people downtown. We saw the injection that Southtown gave our downtown 10 years ago, 8 years ago. I think this could have a similar impact. That's that many people eating at restaurants, going into shops, all of those different things.
I know some of the residents had raised questions to city council and in other venues about egress and where, you know, where is that traffic going to go, presuming that there is going to be traffic there. To your imagination, have those questions really been solved adequately?
Excuse me. Listen, I think every aspect of these projects, and listen, I'm all for, you know, public input and concern. And I'm not saying that when things like that get brought to us, it isn't something that we can take a look at and all that. But, you know, I also defend our staff and saying, and this comes up about stormwater down there as well all the time. You know, let me defend our staff for a second. It's like, we don't just take somebody's word for it. I mean, somebody doesn't come in with a 260 unit project and then decide where they want to put a driveway as if we don't do any, you know, technical, you know, assistance or requirements. Stormwater requirements are required by law. So when someone says that gets built, and oh my gosh, and now these other things are going to flood, we have to prove, they have to prove that they are in that net zero or improving the stormwater outcomes down there. So, you know, again, I'm all for, you know, folks, you know, having the opportunity to complain about something or whatever they want to do. But the point is we've got a pretty good staff that's been here a while, especially in the engineering department. And these are things that we look at, and we obviously want to pick the best option for the community that makes the most sense. None of that has really changed at this point, and we don't really see that there was going to be any viable alternatives of where ingress and egress would be.
And by the way, I also wanted to compliment you. I thought your comment yesterday about the Sanger protest was very appropriate, saying that, look, this is why we have a public forum. People can come and share their views, and that's democracy in action. So, you know, I very much agree with you about that. We always like to end with a lightning round, quick questions. First question is, when you drink water, are you drinking it from a plastic bottle, from a glass bottle, from the tap, from a filter? What's your water primary source mechanism?
We have one of those big gallon things that goes in the refrigerator that makes me feel like it's filtered, but then I wonder how often we replace it. So maybe it's not, you know.
Okay.
But it's the, you know, whatever, the placebo effect or whatever you'd call it.
Right. It makes you feel better about life. Okay. All right. When you go to drop off something at the post office or the library and you have one of those pull down kind of metal bins that you put the materials in and then you let the drawer go back, do you double check to make sure that the mechanism worked?
Yes, and this goes back. I would work at my summers when I was like 11 or 12 years old, and work at my dad's law firm, and I'd have to drop the FedEx and UPS stuff off.
I gotcha.
And I, you know, those were important lawyer letters, so I always walk it all the way in. I got to see it go all the way down.
I gotcha. And then in driving, are you a lane changer always, sometimes, or never? And the key test here is if you pull up to a stoplight and there's two cars in your lane ahead of you, but there's no cars in the other lane, are you changing into the other lane or are you staying where grandma stays in the third position?
Oh, we're always maximizing performance.
Thank you.
So, around here. So, yeah, we absolutely. I mean, there's not even burned into my subconscious at this point is a lane change to the free lane.
It would give you the heebie-jeebies to sit there and not change.
I am courteous. If it's a right-hand turn lane and I'm not going right, I will stay to the left. That is also, I don't know if we can make a city ordinance about that, but you know, you can't block the right-hand turn
lane by
yourself
good.
If you're going straight.
I think you might be talking about 9th and Tippin, but that's a conversation for another day. I hate that intersection so much. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to the city council meeting next week and talking to you next Wednesday. Have a great trip to D.C., by the way. And sorry you won't be getting to see the White House, but maybe next time.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, because it shut down. You know, they were supposed to, he was going there, and then, you know, because of the shutdown, they were going to have the meetings but not be able to see the White House. And by the way, the Tippin and 9th and, what's it, Langley, the one that I always think of is if you're going south on Tippin away from, like, you know, Creighton, okay, you're going south, you go through the stop sign, and then you get to the, you know, the pizza places on the left and the malls on the right. It's that dumb little, like, the left lane is a turn only, or a turn and go straight, and the right lane is a turn only. And then the obedient people go in the left or go straight, but then the disobedient people go in the right turn only and then go straight. Oh, no, man. it's not that everything provokes me to want to do violence to my fellow drivers, but there are times. There are times. So 555, John, you look at me like, am I wrong?
No, you're
okay,
not.
Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure I'm not the only one.
No.
And the worst is when the person in front of you is turning left, so you have to wait for them to go straight.
Just to go straight, yeah.
And what you do is you pull around them, and then you're kind of like halfway between breaking the law and not breaking the law. But anyway, I'm just going to move on, cry to myself. Hey, speaking of cars, if you want one that merges better, changes lanes better, makes you want to enjoy your driving a little bit. You know, honestly, you should enjoy driving your car. And, you know, at a certain point with the car, it gets to be old enough where you're like, you don't really enjoy it anymore. You kind of remember the good old days when you used to enjoy that car. If you get another car that is newer and nicer, you will enjoy driving again more. And you won't be nervous if it's real old or, you know, it's having more money put into repairs than it's really worth repair. But go to Frontier Motors and look around. Go see. In fact, you know, you might get into some newer cars, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young kind of cars, and you may not love them. And that's fine. Wait until you find a car you love and then buy it. Or send them shopping for the value that you're looking for if you're willing to take a little bit older, a little bit higher miles or whatever. But Frontier has a great selection, about 300 different cars, and you can, you know, all different makes and models, and you can try a bunch of things and see what's out there. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Fall is here, and White Sands Electric wants to remind you it's the perfect time of year for safety upgrades, like replacing that antique breaker panel or adding surge protection. Also, it's getting darker earlier, and White Sands Electric wants their commercial clients to know their 42-foot and 65-foot bucket trucks and their 126-foot boom lift can take care of virtually any exterior lighting repairs or upgrades. Call 850-433-6080 or visit whitesandselectric.com today.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Good morning, 5:58, News Radio 92.3. Yeah! I'm going to go down to the newsroom with David Wayne, who's waiting eagerly to tell us a headline or two. David?
Well, I am awaiting eagerly to give you a headline. And that headline is, President Trump says he's now greenlit the CIA to take action in Venezuela. He confirmed that authorization Wednesday. The president was asked by reporters at the White House if they'd also given the green light to take out Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, but he did not answer that particular question.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. By the way, I forgot to mention this to you yesterday. California has banned Glock-style pistols, most of them, not all of them, ones that are able to be made with a Glock switch into a fully automatic. And now the NRA has sued to block that in California. For at least a day, you couldn't buy them at a gun store.